This morning at Sunday school, and I mean, just something dark came over me all day long. Just heavy, heavy, heavy. And I looked at my wife. I said, "For once, I'm just really depressed in church. I mean, something's really." And I may have, you know, said things that weren't right to somebody or something. And if I did, forgive me. I don't bring it to my attention. We can talk about it. I'm not sure if I did, but if I acted the way I shouldn't have, forgive me. I'm having one of those days. I'm a human being. That's right, man. I mean, they come over heavy. And when that cloud comes rolling in, I just know that. Just keep it moving. I'm going to get out of this, man. It won't last forever. I'll come out the other side and see what I have to see. But anyway, glad Sam's home. Yeah. Really, he taught me something today. We were talking a little bit downstairs in Sunday school. And my personal opinion was I think boot camp's a little wimpy these days compared to how it used to be in the days. But Sam said, well, it is. He said, but here's the reason. Here's what happened. The military, back then, they took the weak and got them out of the way and kept them strong. He said, today, they make the weak strong. You see, they're bringing them up. They're keeping the weak people and making them strong. They're turning them strong. I said, gosh, that's what Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
Takes the weak and beggarly and makes us strong. Man, I learned something from Sam today. I had no intentions on, you know, learning something like that, but it made sense to me now. Hey, you're right. Why waste and separate the weak and kick them out and waste however much the taxpayer money was, he said, and all this? But you know, why waste that when we can just build them up, make them strong? You know, I said, man, that's what the Lord does. That's what Jesus Christ does after salvation. Takes that weak and beggarly person and just gets them up there, raises them up there. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. He takes that person and just starts making them into something. Starts shaping them and molding them. You know, he doesn't kick them out to the curb. He takes that weak person and he builds them up and makes them into something that he can be used. And it's kind of, well, with the army, what I got a hold of today is what the army's doing. And I can see with all the problems and wars that are going on, America has to stay strong. So don't kick out the weak. Let's just make them strong and use them. You know, and that was a good lesson for me today. I'm going to finish. Last week I started 10 ways for victory in a Christian life. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish part two of that. I'm just going to do a quick rundown of a recap. Fret not was the first one. This is going to be Psalms 37, 1 through 8. Fret not. Don't let evildoers trouble you. Let me tell you something. I got deliverance from that from the Lord. He really, I fretted a lot against people. I always had this stuff going on. Well, why don't they get to do this and why do they get to do that? And really, the Lord just delivered me from that. And you know what I had trouble with this week? Fretting.
Yeah.
Because I told you guys that the Lord gave me victory. He said, let's see how much you got then. Oh, man. I said, Lord, probably six or seven times this week, I said, Lord, please don't let me get back into that. Nope, you're right. Nope, it's because of you that I'm delivered from this, so don't let me get back. And no, I'm not even going to feed that thought. You know, sometimes it says we got to bring those thoughts into captivity. We have to really capture those things and stop them. And this week I really had to do that with that fret not. And thank God that he's given me the victory. And I thank God he gives me a little reminder that I still need him to get me out of it when I get into it, because I can still get into it just as well. I told, maybe I was telling Luke today, I said, oh no, I was telling my Sunday school class, I said, don't think for a second I can't get myself back into what I used to be. I said, I can. Amen. Very easily. But thank God I have Jesus Christ who keeps my heart, who keeps my mind, who helps me guard that thing and keep it where it needs to be. And so fret not. Don't let what them evildoers do don't trouble you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I mean, trust. Having that trust, that confidence that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. We you know, it's hard for people to trust these days. We put our trust in a human being and they hurt us. We have to remember, Jesus Christ is not a person. He's not a human being who's going to hurt you. He's God Almighty and he's not out to hurt you. He's out to help you. A lot of people think that God's out to hurt people. He's not out to hurt you, man. He's not out. We think we know what's best. So when he does I'm praying for this, but he does this, we go, no, God did me wrong. No, he did you right. You just don't see it yet. Let him finish his work, and you'll see why he had to do what he had to do. And so we need to trust the Lord. Number three, delight thyself also in the Lord. We need to delight in him. I mean, just you ever sit back and just think about what the Lord has done for you, where He's brought you from? I mean, ask my wife and the kids, I'll just start tearing up and crying. Matter of fact, last week I was on my way to Olean and had my mother in the car with me. And a song came on, and I just said, my goodness. I mean, I was crying. My mom put she put her hand on my shoulder and she rubbed it. I said, Ma, I said, Jesus, just saved me, Ma. He just saved, he turned me into something I never thought possible. I said, I love him for it.
Amen.
And I was just delighting in the Lord. I mean, my mom seen that. She, you know, it made her just think about some things, you know. I said, I'm just delighting in the Lord, Ma. He just took the time to do what He did for me. Delighting in the Lord. See, I mean, look what He's done to the people sitting in this room. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit our way. But give Him that way, man. Psalm 25, verse 10, it says that mercy and truth is in the path of the Lord. I'm just telling you right now, if you're not finding any mercy and truth, it's because you're on the wrong path. You're not on the Lord's path. You're on your own path. And I'm telling you right now, you're not going to find no mercy and truth. If you want mercy and truth, get back up where you belong. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Get back on track. We all fall off track. Babe, don't I fall off track quite a bit? That's right. But you know what I do? I get back up. Commit my way unto the Lord. Commit my thoughts unto Him. Get on that on my knees and pray. There's times I get on the floor, flat straight out of my belly, and I just beg God, I'm so sorry to get myself into this place I am. Let's get out of now. And I commit my ways back unto the Lord. You know what? He gets me back on that path. That's a good thing. I like being on His path. My path is destruction. I mean, it ruins everything. It just, His whole plan, I like to try to thwart that. And He doesn't get very happy when I try to do that. But when I'm on His path, it's just a good time, man. I mean, let's roll. Let's ride. Let's do what we got to do. And He's commit your way unto Him. Trust also in Him. That says that. First it says just trust in Him. But then it comes back again and says trust also in Him. I mean, really, He's hitting now. He's really trying to hit a home run with that. Just really want you to get and trust in Him. Trust everything that He is. He wants you. I didn't do this on purpose, but it just came to my mind, and I'm going to read this. Me and my wife were talking about something the other day, and it's going to have to do with trust also in Him. And I saved this text. I locked the message on my phone. It's from my wife. I sent it to her. She said something, commented. Oh, she sent me a verse. Remember? She sent me a verse, and as I said, okay. This is what I wrote back to her. I said, we all get excited when a preacher gets up there and preaches exactly what we need to hear. And we miss the very fact that Jesus is the Word and preaches right down the line every day if we pay attention to what His Word tells us. Do you realize if you read your Bible every day, you're getting preached to by Jesus Christ? You're getting preached to by God? And you can get hammered down the line every single day. Every single day. Why can't we get excited about the Word of God? But we'll get excited about somebody, and I'm not saying nothing against the preachers, man. I'm just saying we get excited about somebody who gets up here and preaches something to us out of the Bible. We get all excited about that, but we don't get excited about what Jesus shows you every day. I know He shows me something every day. Let's get excited about what He shows you every single day. He's standing in front of you. Literally, the Word. Jesus is the Word. It's in front of you. It's standing there, and He's preaching it to you. He's giving it to you right down the line every single time. And a nail right on the head every single day. And you mean to tell me we can't get excited about that? We should get excited. You know why? Because we're not trusting also in Him. We're trusting in ourselves, our own thoughts, our own minds, our own hearts. We're off that path. We haven't committed our way to Him. See, all this stuff, you think God wrote this stuff on accident in the order that it's wrote in? No, it's not written in accident. It's written in a way that we can follow a pattern that we would understand that. Commit your way. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring it to pass. Not Dale Morey bring it to pass, because if it was up to me, I'd ruin everything and everybody that's in my life. That's how it is, man. Natural, in the natural man, my natural man, it was not who you guys see me as today. It's impossible for me to have become this person without Jesus Christ. Impossible. Never would have happened in a million years unless Jesus Christ stepped in my heart and did what He did.
Amen.
That's how it happened. It has nothing to do with me. Now we're going to go on to verse 7. Psalm 37, going to verse 7. That's where I'm going to start. So I just gave you a little rundown of some things that 10 ways to have victory in a Christian life. Psalm 37, 1 through 8. We're going to start in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord. And I gave you the definition, is to be quiet or tranquil in the mind, not to be agitated by fear, anxiety, or other passion. This is what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. You see, if there's rest in your soul, there's going to be rest in your body. If there's rest in your soul, there's going to be rest in your mind. You see, people, they don't get that. They just think about, well, you ever go to bed and you're just tired, and you get up and you're still tired? You don't have rest in your soul. There's nothing, no peace inside of you. There's no confidence in Jesus Christ. You have nothing, no peace in your soul whatsoever. And therefore, your body's still tired, your mind's still tired, your heart's still tired. And I mean, everything just feels like it's falling apart. But I'll tell you know what? He says, come unto him. He's the one who's going to give you the rest. Where does it tell you to get the rest from? It says to come to him for rest for your soul. I believe that. That's all about salvation. He's going to give you that permanent rest for your soul. Permanent. Never will you ever lose it again. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Over 3 years ago now, I got saved. And guess what? I could never lose that.
Amen.
That rest will never be taken from me. I may be tired. I mean physically tired here on this earth. Physically tired, beat up and hurt and everything else. But I tell you what, I got a rest coming. I got a rest coming that I'll never get tired. I'll never sleep. I'll never have to worry about sleep. I don't have to worry about eating. I mean, nothing. Just think about that all day long. Matt, it's not even going to be day and night because he's so bright. It's just going to be constant. And you know what? That's mine. I believe it was yesterday.
Your mom was at the house yesterday, right? Yeah.
After Amy's graduation party, I went home. I said, I'm going to go hunting out back of the house. So I'm sitting in a stand. I just look at them. And man, past the clouds, it was just so clear and blue. Everybody knows me. I'm afraid of heights. I said, one day, I'm going to ascend up there. I'm not going to be afraid of the heights.
Amen.
And I was just saying, Lord, thank you. I mean, just thank you. Because one day, I'm going to go up there. And I'm not going to be afraid to go up there. I'm not going to be afraid to look down. The heights aren't going to bother me anymore. And I just sat there in that hunting chair and I enjoyed myself just like that.
Yeah, amen.
I do that a lot. I don't know, this whole salvation thing's got me a little happy about some things. Some things that are going on in my life. I mean, this whole salvation thing's got my mind blown. Sometimes I just can't realize, holy moly, it happened to me. Pastor, tell you, salvation can't happen for me. I can never get saved. It's never going to work for me. Blah, 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 and all this. He knew what it was going to take. And when he got me to that point, it was it. It was over with. Now I got a new name written down in glory. I know it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And I tell you what, I just get excited about salvation. I still get excited. 3 years and I'm still excited about salvation. But you know what my Savior tells me? Come, I'll give you rest. Verse 30, Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy. He didn't say he's taking that yoke. You see that? That yoke is still there. It's just a little lighter because he's in there with us. Never said once that he said he's going to remove that yoke from us. But he's in there with us. He's in there. Like you said, at 11 o'clock. We Christians, we all know we go through things. Isn't it a little lighter with Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it a little? We bounce back just a little bit quicker. That's what he's talking about. You can rest assured on that. How sweet it is when the times that we do rest in the Lord. You know, every one of you sitting in this room, know that when you're at complete peace with the Lord and things are just going right, the rest you have for your body, mind, soul, and heart. I mean, what a peace it is just to be in that place with God. What a beautiful, wonderful place it is, knowing that your readings are going good, your prayer life's going good, church is on fire, you're singing songs, man. I mean, everything is just going good. You know what he does? He's giving you a little rest.
Right.
Giving you a little rest. What he says he do? He gives us a little rest. I think I had rest for a couple weeks. Now this morning it hit me back again. Something's going on somewhere, and I'll just have to figure that out between me and God, and we're just going to keep it moving. That's where we're just going to keep it moving. I'm not giving up on this thing. I'm not walking away from nothing. Not walking away from my faith. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen, but let me just tell you this. I committed my ways unto the Lord. I'm trusting also on Him, and I'm just going to let Him lead it. He's got to lead it. He's got to lead it, because if I start leading it, trouble's going to strike. Ask my wife, she's sitting right there behind you. When Dale leads it, what happens? Trouble strikes. Yes? You know it. First Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him. For what? For He careth for you. Notice the word careth has the E-T-H on the end. It never stops. If you think for one second that Jesus Christ ever stops caring for you, then you have the wrong Jesus. He's not Buddha and all this who just stops answering you. Listen, if your prayer... Men... Well, not you guys over there yet. But men who have wives, I'm telling you this right now. You want your prayers to be hindered? Treat your wife bad.
Right.
You want to have a bad Christian walk? Go ahead and do the things you're not supposed to do to your wife. I'm just telling you right now. Amy, she knows if I think, babe, is there something wrong? Is there something between me? What do we have to get? Really, I really hound her because I just want to make sure that things are right, because I know that if I go to my father, it's not. Listen, I go, like I said, oh, Amy, I tried praying this morning. Don't I walk up to you and say this? You know, I did try praying this morning, and it's just something there between me and you. And eventually she'll say, well, yeah, you know, and then but I'll know immediately that I either said something wrong. She'll say, oh, no, that don't bother me. And I'll go, you know you're going to get me in trouble, right? That's what I'll tell you. Don't I? I said, you know you're going to get me in trouble. Just tell me if it's bothering you. Let's get it right. You know? All this nonsense. But I don't know, man. That's just what the Lord does for me in my relationship. But, you know, it keeps me in check, man. You know, and it keeps me in check. It keeps me right, you know. And I'm not always perfect with my wife. I treat her wrong. I treat my kids wrong. But I don't leave it that way. I get it right. I like to make sure we're okay with my kids. I'll speak to my son or my daughter. And then afterwards, I'll say, okay, are we okay now? Even with my kids, I'll correct them, spank them, whatever. And then I'll come up, Lucas, shake my hand. Are we okay? Yes, Dad, I'm okay. Let's shake. All right, go to your room, cry, do whatever you're going to do. After you're done, come back out. Let's get things right. Are we all right? Yep, we're okay. All right, hug and kiss, Autumn. Luke shakes my hand. Everybody's good. See you later. But you know what? What a wonderful thing to have that in your house.
Yeah.
Now, they'll just go right back to playing. We'll go back to doing what we're doing. And everything's all good. They understand what happened. I understand what happened. Had to be taken care of. It's over with. I don't hold anything against anything. If they've been punished once, they're not getting punished for it again. You know who else doesn't do that? Jesus Christ. Once He's forgiven you of your sin, it's a wrap. It's over. I don't have to pay a price for that anymore. How's that sound? I'm not going to stand before Him and say, remember that sin when you were 15? That's not happening to me. Now the sins I commit afterwards, after salvation, He's going to bring them and say, you know why? Why? I'm going to say, just a knucklehead. Just a knucklehead, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm just a knucklehead, you know? He knows me, though. You ever notice He likes to ask people things that He already knows? Well, why? He knows, but He likes... What did He do? Make Jacob... How many times? He made him say his own name, didn't He?
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, the Lord's brought me to a place. Okay, what's your name? Lord, you know I'm Dale. No. What's your name? Who are you really? What's this really about? And He just likes to ask you that and make you say it. And then you know what? After you say it, you go, that's why. Yeah, maybe just put something in your head or something in your heart. Go, that's why. That's why I need, you're right, Lord. I needed to see that. That's something I need to hear. I mean, Tim McVeigh, he's been here to, he was here Wednesday night. He was here Thursday. And then we did a little thing on Saturday. And I don't know about you, but me and my wife got a whole lot of everything out of every night. You know, Pastor asked me how it went. I said, well, I can only speak for me and Amy. I said, we got a whole lot out of it. I said, I don't know what anybody else got out of it, but I just tell you, man. I ain't going to get ahead of myself. But he spoke on some things, and I went home. I told Amy, I said, Amy, I've really been messing up bad. I said, I really want to get it right. Didn't I tell you that that night? Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday. After Bible study. I said, bad, I really need to, some things that creep back into my life that I need to get rid of. I need to get those out, get them back. I said, I'm going to work, I think I've been working pretty hard on it. I mean, when the Lord gives me something like that, you think I just stay and keep doing the same old garbage? No, I'm trying to get that out. He showed me that for a reason. What does he show it to us for? To go play with it? He wants it out. Gone. Be done with it.
Ah, yes, you're right. It sounds real easy, but it ain't. But that's why he shows it.
And I thank God for that. He takes the time. Imagine a holy God. A holy God taking the time for us. To show us.
A holy and right, just God who could have condemned us to hell for all eternity, who has taken the time for us. I'll just keep this on myself for somebody like me.
Really? That blood wasn't wasted. He knew what he was doing.
He knew that one day Dale Moore would call upon his name. Could you imagine now if he got off that cross? I told you that last week. He stayed on that cross for each and every person in this room. Not just me. Each and every person in this room, he stayed on that cross. He could have very well came off of it and been done with it all. Man, humankind, it's over with. He didn't do that. So cares. It's never ending. When we live like we believe that, we need to start living like we believe that he cares. If we believe that Jesus Christ cares, I think we'll carry ourselves just a little different. I think we'll do things a little different. You know, there's people here who have a good relationship with their mom and dads and this and that. You know what? Because you know they care for you, you do things a little different for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Just start thinking that. Just thinking. He cares for you. Now, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He loves you and cares for you. He died for you and he wants good things for you. Now, why don't we start living just a little differently? Because he cares for us.
Him. We want to impress the people here on earth. Why not impress the one who died for us? Why not impress the Savior? Why not get him to be happy with us for once? Because he cares for us and we can rest. Not only do we rest in him, but now I'm going to read the second half of that verse. It says, wait patiently for him.
To wait is to stay or rest in expectation. To stop or remain stationary. To wait patiently means to stay or rest in expectation. Just stop. You know he's going to do something. And then wait on him. We are impatient as people. We don't like to wait on God. But if we would just stop and hold up a minute and just wait on the Lord in expectation, knowing that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, knowing he's got something for us, knowing that he's going to bring this thing to pass, if we can get that into our head and our hearts and just wait on him, I'm just telling you now the outcome will be a whole lot different than what happens to us all the time. Now, when we don't wait on him, guess what happens? Now he's going to start back over again and bring us through the whole thing again. And then what? Then you want to wait patient. Lord, I'm going to wait patient this time. But he said, you could have done it the first time. Know the expectation. You know that word that says, you know something's going to happen. So just wait and stop.
There's decisions in our life. In my life, I'll keep it with my family. There's decisions in my life that I know I should be waiting on. Me and my wife have a huge, thank God, when we moved from Buffalo out here, okay? Thank God. You know, the Lord had, but I really believe the Lord had his hand on that. But let's just say, I say, Pastor, me and my family, we're going to move. We're just going to go ahead and we're going to leave. Oh, have you prayed about it? Yeah, I'm not really getting an answer. We're just going to pack our stuff and, you know, sell the house and we're going to move here or there. I'm just telling you now. You want to destroy your life? Listen. That is what's going on with so many pastors today.
Come on.
Wait. Just stop. They'll stay in a place 3-4 years or whatever, and you know, maybe a little trickle of a person, maybe here or there, and they're saying, "Well, God ain't this," and they're going to pack up and they're going to leave. And you know what's going to happen to those who've been faithful there? Once again, they've been hurt by a pastor. Once again, they've been hurt by a preacher. Who do you think they're going to trust?
Eventually, it's going to come to the point where it's going to be cold-hearted towards all of them.
Well, you're going to leave too. Well, you're going to leave too. Well, you're going to leave too. Thank God. He recognized God's calling and stayed here at Black Creek.
Amen.
Thank God. He just knew this is where God wanted him. This is it. I'm staying here till God moves. I think his next step will be in glory. I just believe he's going to stay here till God brings him home, man. I mean, I'm happy. I mean, good. We need people to be like that. I mean, God appoints people to go places and this and that. I totally understand that. But every single one of them all the time? I just can't see that.
Pastor Haynes, 40-some-odd years at Wonder. What a blessing those people got. They probably don't realize it, but what a blessing they got.
Wait patiently. See what he got. We need to stop our by our own might. We need to stop trying to do things without seeking God, what He wants for us. We need to learn to be patient and wait on God. We need to make when we make moves without the clear direction of the Lord, we mess it all up. Clear direction. Please have a clear direction in your life before you make any changes or any moves. Because if you don't have it clear, then that means God's not done. He's not done moving the pawns around. He's not done moving things in place. Then just please wait on it. It'd be better than you wait on it. I know we all get impatient. We all get impatient. But just wait on that thing. Wait on it. He'll make it clear. I guarantee it. My favorite, two. I'll be able to finish this. Number eight, one of the victories, the ways to have victory, cease from anger. Cease simply means to abstain. Abstain from anger. Let me read what I got here. Try not to do it. But if so, it says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Jesus got angry, but He did not sin. We make angry and need to not sin. Words and action used the wrong way leads to sin. We have been told not to fret. We've been told to trust in the Lord and to rest in Him, to wait on Him, and now cease from anger. Why? Because we don't. Because we don't have the things in our lives. God does not do what we expect. We get angry with Him. When God doesn't answer me the way I think He should answer me, what's the first thing I do? Why, God? How many of us have been in that position where you're angry at God because you think He answered your prayer wrong? Do you ever notice that God is not wrong? But we really have this notion that we think God is always wrong. No, that's not the way I wanted it, Lord. You know how your kids get? Oh, that's not the toy I wanted. That's not the right one. But this one's better for you to last longer. We get that way with God. We get angry. No. That's not the house, that's not the wife, that's not the this, and that's not... Listen, I'm just telling you, cease from anger. In reality, we should be angry with ourselves for not doing what He has told us to do. You want to get angry at something? Get angry at yourself for not doing what God has instructed you to do. For what what God has told you to do, and you absolutely refuse to do it. You know in your heart of hearts that He has told you to do something. It's lit. Matter of fact, it just popped up in your head right now. And you know what? You're still refusing to do it. Get angry at yourself, not God. He knows what He's doing. We do not.
Amen.
And that's what we need to stand on. If that's the case, if we thought that we really knew what we were doing, then why would God have to intervene in our life? Why does He have to be in full control of our life if we can run our own life? Go ahead and look at your past and tell me how well you did. And I'm talking to myself as well. I know this. When I stand every single day, I know that I did not handle my life right. And I know that I couldn't do it on my own. And I need God on a daily basis. Whether I feel like it or not, it's not about the feelings. It's about knowing that you need God. Nothing else. And I'm just telling you, with Him, He'll give it to you. But you know, we want to get angry. Go ahead and change your little diaper. Put some powder on yourself and get moving. I mean, stop with the anger like that. Stop with the anger. That's what we act like, little kids, when we're angry. And I still struggle with that, don't I? Yes. Not to the point that I used to be. But sometimes I handle my anger wrong. I may not be screaming and yelling, but sometimes a word can come out of my mouth that's just as hurtful as anything else. I can say it just as calm, be angry when I say it, and still hurt somebody. That's why I got up here and apologized. And that had nothing to do with me preaching on anger. If I did anything to anybody, I just wanted to make, hey, I'm sorry. I'm having a bad time right now. And if I've done it, then I'm sorry. You come talk to me, we'll get it straight. But man, this anger here. This anger is a bad thing. It's a disease that people hold on to. I tell you this right now, as God is my witness, as I stand here today, anger never did me a bit of good. What good did it do me in my past? What good? There's not one person that can sit here, if I could play a film, and you guys can see my past and my anger and stuff, one thing it did good for me. Nothing. Number nine, one of the nine ways, or one of the 10 ways to have victories, number nine, forsake wrath. Forsake means to quit or leave entirely. To desert, to abandon, to depart from. We had a discussion, I believe it was Thursday night. McVeigh, preached on anger and wrath. He said, does anybody know the difference? Of course, I want to raise my hand because I think I know everything I don't. But I raised my hand. I said, well, anger is a violent thought in your head. You know, you can express some things, blah, blah, blah. He was well, what's wrath? I said, wrath is that anger with action behind it. Now you're doing something physically. He goes, well, that's the kind of definition I had. And I'm scared. With anger, most of my life I was wrathful because I had a lot of violent intentions, a lot of violent thoughts. I never did it. I'm going to go out and kill somebody. That's, you know, that anger's up in there. I'd like to kill it. I'd like to choke that person. I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that. Now, I'm not saying people don't hit people in anger, but wrath is that same exact anger intensified 100 times, but this time you're going to do some kind of action. There's going to be action on top of that. That wrath, the wrath of God. Well, what's the wrath of God? He's going to destroy all those who are not saved. Out of his wrath, he's going to pour out that fury. You see, he's angry with the sinners all day long, but he hasn't destroyed them yet. But when his wrath is poured out, he destroys them. Mm-hmm. See, there's action behind that. It's a deep, deep thing. That wrath, man, it drives you to do it. That very thought that you had when you were angry, now you're going to put it in action. Now you're going to take it, and you're going to go ahead and put it in action, and you're going to do it. That wrath is a scary thing. He says, stay away. Listen, cease from anger. Try to stop it. Try to stop it all. But he says, forsake wrath. Forsake the one that's going to leave the most damage to somebody. Now, I can't say that all the time. Sometimes words hurt more than physical things. Physical things heal. Not all physical things. But on this, he says, forsake wrath. Forsake it. Get rid of it. Be done with it. I mean, you don't even play with it. Don't even entertain a thought in your head of wrath. To quit it entirely. The difference between anger and wrath is anger is a violent passion of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury. Wrath is violent anger, not just in the mind, but in deed and in actions. Wrath is the thought of the mind with an action. That comes out of Webster's 1828. That's the definition Webster's 1828 dictionary gives about wrath and anger. I thought it sounded pretty good. I thought, you know, you read some of the Bible, you can see some people's anger. Then you can look at wrath, and you can see they're different words spelled differently with different meanings because they have different motives behind them. And when he says cease from anger, we cease from, I really try hard to cease from my anger. But then he says forsake wrath. Forsake means, I mean, I can't even describe what kind of exclamation point he's putting on that forsake it. I mean, let it be the last thing to ever cross your mind. I mean, don't even, try not to even let it get into your mind. Because when you do, all you're doing is entertaining that thought. And I'm just telling you now, when that thought gets it going, I got a 17-page rap sheet. I think all but two charges are all violent charges from me putting my hands on people, whatever. That's all wrath. That's all that anger turned into action. All that stuff built up. All that stuff come out in the play. All that anger that I held in, all that anger that I held in towards somebody finally came out. And guess what they got? You ever hear that? You know, so you got somebody's wrath. You didn't just get their anger, but you got their wrath. You got that fury. And he said, forsake that. Forsake it. I mean, forsake it like you could forsake anything in your entire life. Because who's it help? Who does it help? What does anger and wrath help anybody? Now, that's righteous anger. There's things we should be angry about. I believe Tim McVeigh said it. There's certain things that we should have some righteous anger about. Jesus Christ got angry over some things. He kicked tables over and everything else in his Father's house. But you know what? He didn't sin. We take it a step farther, then we start calling names, and I mean, we bring it to a whole different level. He didn't do that. You can get angry over things. There should be some things where we should be angry over abortions and all that stuff. We should have the anger, but not, does that mean to go there, like Tim McVeigh said, and blow the doctors up and, you know, stab the ladies and all that because they're doing it? No. But we can have that anger where that's not right. You're killing somebody innocent and blah, blah, you know, whatever else you want to say about it. We can have that anger. No, I stand against that. I'm not for that. I'm totally against that. That's the anger we can have. But when you start crossing the line where you're threatening to kill people or you do kill people and all that, now you're in the wrath. Now you've gone ahead and you've made that a step further. Forsake it. And number 10, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now he's telling you, in the beginning, Don't fret what evildoers are getting away with. Don't worry about what's going on with them. Now he's telling you, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't you get yourself in there. Don't you get yourself all worked up seeing what them other people are doing. Get yourself all worked up. Get yourself all disturbed and go out there and start doing what they're doing. He says, don't do it. You ever sit there and think to yourself, and don't say you haven't. Because we all, as Christians, have sat there and said, you know, if they didn't get away with it, I should get it.
Come on.
Why not? That's fretting to do evil.
Come on.
You're looking at them and saying, man, if they can live that way and be okay, why can't I? Maybe you'll try it. That's fretting. You're getting yourself all worked up over it. You're disturbing it. You got the wrong mindset. And he says we can get into that. You know what? We do get into that.
Cool.
He says, fret not thyself to be in any wise. And I just said in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. And now the second half of verse 8 says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 1 says, don't get all worked up over what evil people do or what they are getting away with. Verse 8 says, don't get yourself into it. And then, it says, I put on here, do what the Lord says in His Word, and He will get you through. These things, 10 things, will give you victory in a Christian walk. And what are those 10 things He says? Fret not thyself. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit thy way in the Lord. Trust also in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Wait for Him. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. And fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Put those things in order. Put those things in your life. Work on them. Commit your way unto doing Amen. These things. And I'm telling you now, you'll have more victory in life than you did yesterday.
Amen.
You'll have more victory in your Christian life than you had last week. This is why God gives us this stuff. Not just to look at. Not just to say, oh, that sounds good, and shake your head at it. No, bring it home with you. Bring this stuff home with you. Get it into your head. Get it into your heart. Matter of fact, I'm not trying to brag or nothing, but I'm just gonna let you know right now that even still in the front of my phone is my memory. So I'm memorizing Psalm 37, 1-8. I'm memorizing this very thing. Why? What a weapon to have. Here's my exact prayer when that fretting kept coming up inside of me. You know what I was repeating to the Lord? Fret not thyself because of what evildoers are doing. That's what I kept telling him. Lord, you're right. You told me not to do that in your word. It was a weapon I could use. What did Jesus Christ use to defeat the devil?
Word.
The word of God. Why wouldn't we?
Oh.
Pretty simple answer, but you know it takes a lot to get through our hard heads. Pastor always says, start memorizing some verses. And you know why? Why? It's a weapon now. It's a weapon in your heart. It's something that you can use against the devil. It's something that you can use against the flesh. And I kid you not, God is my witness. All week long, man, I use these verses right here in my very own life to pray back to the Lord. Lord, this is what you taught me. You're right. This is what your word says. Then let's do it. And I'm just telling you, it just vanished. I mean, it just went. The thoughts went away, and I just went on my way. You know, I'm done. These 10 things in your life. Psalm 37, verses 1-8. Read them. Get into them. Put them in your life.